DQ presents. Picture this. You stand before the awe-inspiring new signature stack burger menu at DQ and your mouth wonders, where have you been all my life? That's six taste bud tempting cheeseburgers with 100% real seasoned beef. You peek at the loaded steakhouse stack burger with two premium sauces, then the flamethrower stack burger with tongue-tingling jalapeno bacon. Then you realize moments like these are exactly why we have the DQ signature stack burger menu. DQ. Happy tastes good. Get it delivered at DQ.ca.
Are you looking for career-focused training that can help you start a rewarding career in the plumbing trades?
Pershing Skilled Trades Cambridge offers affordable, hands-on training in plumbing codes, piping, tubing, blueprints, and job safety in just 24 weeks.
Learn from experienced pros and develop your skills in Pershing's state-of-the-art training workshop. Employers hire from Pershing because they trust the quality of our plumber training.
Classes starting monthly, evening and daytime schedules available.
Your future begins at Pershing. Find out more at pershingtrades.ca.
The WWE family is saddened by the passing of Scott Hall, the man who proved it's good to be the bad guy.
Say hello to Razor Ramon.
Scott Hall made an instant impact upon his WWE debut in 1992 as Razor Ramon.
That character was the little spark that he needed to light the dynamite of everything he had.
Take a look at me.
I'm living the good life, man.
Good food, good drink, good chicas.
You just can't teach somebody to be cool. And Scott's always been cool.
Maybe I could clear the table, huh? Is that what you would like, man?
He's the guy that made it cool to be the bad guy.
Being the bad guy came with benefits. Razor would cement his legacy as one of WWE's greatest intercontinental champions with a thrilling victory in WWE's first ever ladder match at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels.
I got gold around my neck and my most precious gold around my waist.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Upon leaving WWE in 1996, Scott Hall would make his way to WCW, where alongside Kevin Nash and the immortal Hulk Hogan, he would revolutionize sports entertainment with the NWO.
Going down there changed everything. Scott Hall was a pioneer.
We are taking over.
It just felt real. Felt you were getting something special.
Hey, y'all, are you here to see them?
This was one of the best things that ever happened in the business.
When you're NWO, you're NWO for life.
The WWE family will forever remember Scott Hall as a gifted entertainer and two-time WWE Hall of Famer.
Hey, yo!
A loving father and a dear friend.
Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, You can bet anytime. You can bet anywhere with my bookie. Everyone has faced this problem. What gift to choose? What gift to give yourself when you're sitting at home? What to give a friend or parents? What to give your wife or husband? What to give your children or colleague at work? Well, Wooden Puzzles at Unidragon solves this problem. Why do people love Unidragon so much? Because these puzzles are amazing. Each puzzle piece has its own unique shape. Interesting for adults and children. Each puzzle is packed in a premium wooden gift box. New puzzles are also released each and every month. They all have an incredibly colorful design. You will not regret checking this product out. Not only is it an excellent and unique gift to give to others, but it can be a gift to give to yourself as well. They're perfect for a nice relaxing afternoon and figuring out the perfect puzzle that will help keep your mind sharp. So go to unidragon.com and use the code MASTER for 10% off of your order. That is unidragon.com and use the promo code MASTER for 10% off your order. This product is absolutely amazing. I love that owl. It's cool as hell. One more time, that is unidragon.com for the most unique, creative, and challenging puzzles out there, and use that promo code MASTER to let them know we sent you. Enjoy that 10% discount. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, J.P. John Paz. Of course, with me is the star of the show, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, J.P. Wonderful. And yourself?
Doing very good in this crazy world we now live in. Is there's just so much I don't understand, so much don't know what's going on. I don't know, it's a crazy world we're living in right now.
There is. I mean, I have no concept what's going on. I mean, I don't know the I do know the reason, I think, why they try to go and take the Ukraine. You know, the northern part, right? Their first language is Russian. 80% of the people, because if you remember during this, when it was the Soviet Union, there was a lot of Russians that moved into there. So, I mean, I don't think many people in this country understand what's going on and why they attacked. And like I told you before the show started, I mentioned the two guy that Belarus was going to help the Russians, and you didn't even know the country Belarus. This is how ill-informed we are. So, I mean, it's a horrible thing what the Russians are doing, but is this all about the pipeline? Why do you go in there? What, is he afraid of a united Europe? There's so many questions that are above most of our take rate. You know what I'm saying? And I just hope we don't get sucked into this.
Same.
But
here.
I do understand. Yeah, I do understand what they're trying to do. And am I correct that Ukraine isn't part of NATO?
Not yet. Nope.
So NATO can't do anything or send forces, I don't believe. So maybe this Putin thought, I better do this now before they get into NATO and NATO's on my border. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know. Maybe just I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Who knows? Or he's just crazy. Who knows? Or it's the oil. Who knows? I'm not smart enough to figure it out.
So as far as like the other world, the wrestling world that we know very well, it seems like WrestleMania, in hindsight, it seems like it's not selling well, but it's selling 50,000 tickets for night one, 50,000 tickets for night two, but they're in 100-person stadium. If it was just one night, they'd already have a sellout. They'd already have the 100 grand. They're really going for 200 grand, and they're only halfway there. Is this a positive or a negative? They did sell 100,000 tickets, but they want to sell 200,000.
Let's look at it this way. Let's look at it. Take our wrestling minds out of it and try to put our business heads on it. Are they trying to inflate their numbers? You know, they made $1 billion this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are they trying to inflate their numbers to get rid of this company?
Possibly.
And, you know, I heard a crazy thing that, you know, when you in the wrestling business, there's so many people have so many theories on it. Somebody mentioned to me that they wouldn't be surprised if the Saudis bought it. I can't see that. I think they're getting, that both of them are getting great deals. I mean, the WWE is making a ton of money over there. It raises their bottom line. But who knows? I mean, I think I mentioned this last week. Would the Super Bowl sell out twice in a row? Would it be that big an event? I don't know. You know what I mean? I just don't see how this is just me, and I'm probably going to be proved wrong. How you have a second night and hope that you're going to draw another 50,000 more tickets. What's your thought process on that?
It's hard to say that, like, you haven't done well and you sold 100,000 tickets. I just think that it should be one night, because selling 200,000 tickets almost seems impossible. I don't care if Austin might be coming back, or you got Reigns versus Lesnar in the biggest match of all time, whatever they want to call it. But I feel like that's almost like too tall of a task. 200,000 tickets is nuts.
Yeah, that's my thought too. But they may prove us wrong, and I hope they do. I hope they do. You know, the Irish have a saying, oh, I want all my friends to do good, but not too good. I hope they draw 200,000 people, because I think the business needs a pop somewhere, don't you?
Big time, yep.
Yeah. So.
That's why you got to root for AEW, too.
Yeah, you got to root for anybody that's creating jobs for these guys. Good for them. Hey, speaking about Brock Lesnar, I was on YouTube yesterday, and I saw his second fight with Frank Muir, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Frank Muir, didn't he become a pro wrestler in Japan?
Frank Muir did some wrestling, but I don't think so. No, not as far as I know.
Okay. I don't know where I got that from, you know, but I thought I had heard that he wrestled in Japan a couple times.
No, never. I know he did some stuff for Josh Barnett. He did some blood sport stuff. And I know he wrestled a match against Simon Grimm. It was in Las Vegas, but it was very much like shoot style, much more than like pro wrestling. There was almost like that UWFI style.
Yeah.
He should have been a pro wrestler. The way he could trash talk and everything else. I mean, and he's got the look for it, and obviously he's got the background.
Oh, he looked terrific. And boy, Brock really dominated him in the second fight. I never saw the first fight, but he dominated him on the second fight. I mean, he really beat him up.
Brock, if he was more experienced, he would have won the first fight too, but made a really bad mistake giving Mir one of his legs. It was just rookie mistake, and Mir got him. And in the second fight, you kind of saw Brock just, you know, to claim dominance over Frank.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Steve Austin, I keep hearing is wrestling, and then I hear isn't wrestling. So now I'm hearing that he's just going to be making an appearance. I don't know. Have you heard anything about him? Is he going to wrestle or not?
I can't see him wrestling, John. Can you actually?
Not.
He's the only guy. I mean, Sean retired, Michaels, but he did come back for a couple of matches in Saudi, didn't he?
Yep.
I think Austin's the only guy I know that's retired and never come back.
Seems like he's 57. Like, he'll definitely make an appearance. I don't know. I just don't see him wrestling.
I don't either. How many years has it been?
19.
I think he wants his legacy to be untarnished.
He's got a hell of a legacy. It just seems like, wow, it's a match against Kevin Owens. That doesn't really scream like one of the greatest of all time returning, you know?
And the other thing is, how's his neck? You know what I mean?
Definitely. Risky. I saw DDP said that he doesn't, and, you know, he's friends with Steve pretty close. He said he just doesn't see it.
No, I don't see it either.
I see him maybe beating up Owens or part of some group thing where all the guys from Texas come out and beat up Owens, but not actually wrestling a match, like a full match.
No, I see something like that. He comes down and gives the stunner. People go crazy. That's enough.
As far as today and what we kind of want to talk about in our topic, WCW Uncensored 2000, which was on March 19th, 2000, from Miami, Florida at the American Airlines Arena. The attendance was over 5,000. The taglines is outside the rules. And then the pay-per-view buy rate was only 60K. So they only did 60,000 buys. Very, very, not good, or very down from what we've seen before when WCW was at their strongest.
Did we talk about this last week about going to the well too often?
Yes. Look at that. We're going to go back to the well again.
Yeah, it kept on dropping, right?
Yep.
I mean, hey, hindsight's everything, but if it keeps on dropping after the second one and after the third one, why do you do that?
Yeah, why go back to the player well?
Wasn't this the time the NWO was so diluted?
Oh, the NWO is basically gone at this point, yep.
So, well, it would have been a great time to push younger guys. That's what wrestling... We've talked about this before when there was territories, and I'm not a dinosaur saying this, I don't think. When you were a kid, you used to go to Madison Square Garden, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and when they would announce its mission. And coming back after a long absence, Killer Kowalski and Victor Rivera, Neil Mascara, so he popped.
Definitely.
It was, wrestling lives on something new. The, you know, the next big thing. And at this period, the well was being depleted. We were getting a lot of mud in the bucket.
Do you think, you know, at this point, that there's so much going on with politics and so much going on behind the scenes that you guys needed? Because in a few weeks, obviously, you guys have this quote-unquote rebirth, but do you think, like, that was definitely needed? It was something that was being called for?
You mean the rebirth?
Yeah, when they bring in Russo and they bring back Bischoff.
I think they were trying to recapture something by bringing Eric back. I've said this time and time again. Eric doesn't get his dues for what he did sometimes. They brought Eric back, for, in my opinion, to run the business end and try to straighten the stuff up. But I hate that thing, rebirth. It's like saying, okay, we really screwed up, so we're going to restart it. It's almost like, in my head, see if you agree, NXT 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, NXT was running pretty good with Hunter there. I liked the black and the gold, and the kids were amazing. And who knows why they got rid of it. And then a whole different logo, a whole different look. It's almost like you said, well, we failed, and we're going to keep with the product, but we're going to rebrand it. It doesn't sit well with me. It's like a restaurant that was once good, and then they get a different cook, and the food's horrible. And they say, under new management, when they don't, you know what I mean? And the same cook's there.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think they knew they were in trouble then.
So Nash still has the book here at this point. Are you just the assistant booker here?
Well, I was on that.
For that committee?
Yeah.
With your boy Bobby Mould and Mike Graham and Nash.
Yeah. And I think Kevin was saddled with a problem with the NWO get first. I know that he didn't want that many guys in it, and he didn't really want to split the black and white and the red and black. But there was nothing he could do.
And you think about it here with this pay-per-view, it's built up on Hogan Flair is one main event, Sid versus Jeff Jarrett is the other main event, and Sting Luger. So, I mean, these are all quote unquote millionaire club or future millionaire club guys, but these are all like the older guys, except for Jared really, but you know, the older guard really, you know, you don't see a lot of new guys in the mix as far as getting the big push.
Right. This would have been the perfect time to expose some of the new guys. You think?
Definitely. And I think that's what they tried to do with New Blood in a month later when you guys kind of quote unquote restart, and strip everybody of titles and then have all those tournaments and have the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club. Were you around for that? Were you still there or did they send you home?
I went home right as that was going on. I think I was gone the next month.
Did they give any inkling about what was going on, like behind the scenes with them talking to Bischoff and them talking to Rooster? Do they ever let you guys know any of that stuff?
No.
So it kind of catches you off guard.
I knew something was going to happen because they had a meeting one time and they asked Bill Bush what was his big idea to jumpstart it. Well, there was no big idea to jumpstart it except let's go back and go back to Goldberg. You got the nucleus of the guys you just mentioned, but you need to bring the younger kids up. And they said, well, that will take too long. Well, as you know, they all left them pretty soon after this, and WWE pushed them.
Yep, big time. So as far as what's going on like here, it does seem like WWE is in a bit of a free fall. They're not doing good. Like we said, we're going back to the well with Hogan and Flair again at the top. Does anybody say, like, okay, maybe Hogan and Flair doesn't need to be the main event again? or you can't really say anything. Maybe is it in Hogan's contract that has to be the main event? Or, like, why Hogan and Flair again?
Well, this is just my opinion. Hulk got, what do you get, a huge number after a one buy rate. And he had creative control. He was making all kinds of money. Why would he not try to cling on to that? You just did an interview with him that's on YouTube for people that want to find. Very good.
Thank you.
It was excellent. And you asked him some very, you didn't give him any softballs to hit. It was very direct. And when you, this is just again my opinion, when you're on top of the mountain and Hulk Hogan, people forget this. He drew so much money that the guys on his cards, and just, you know, they used to run three towns a night and once in a while, for the WWE. Hogan made wrestling cool. So it's hard to let go. I don't care who you are. We're talking about one of the greatest performers and one of the biggest money drawers of all time, Steve Austin, and they're asking him to come back after 19 years. And I'm sure it's gone through his mind. I don't think he'll wrestle. I think he may come down and give somebody a stunner. But even when you were talking to Hulk, you could see that he would like to come back for one more match. And you know what happens after one more match? One leads to two leads to three. Then you fall back.
And I asked Hulk, I said, Hulk, one more match. He said he can't do it physically, so he's not going to do it. So,
yeah.
But it's just interesting. Let's see. You know, let's see about Austin. Let's see what happens. But who knows with Vince. Maybe Vince will be like, hey, I'll give you $10 million. I need to sell 200,000 tickets here, you know? You never know what he might offer Austin. They can't turn it down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the famous line from The Godfather, we offered him a deal that he couldn't refuse. That may turn out to be true.
Very true. I saw that they're doing a show called The Offer, and it's about the making of the original Godfather. Like, I guess there was some stuff going on behind the scenes that they didn't want the movie to come out at first, or they didn't want them to, you know, have a mafia movie like that. But I'm kind of interested in that. I want to see the making of the movie, or the behind the scenes drama that unfolded.
I would think, and this is just me, that the Italian Defamation League try to stop that, don't you?
Ooh, that's definitely possible. Yeah, that'll probably be on the show.
Yeah, don't you think so?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you watch The Sopranos, and I know it's fiction, but that is one scene where they go down on the Columbus Day Parade. Remember that?
Yep.
Because the Native Americans saying he was a murderer and a made slaves, and they're right, but the Italians got involved, the Italian Defamation League. You know, I don't think that we have a fascination with gangsters in this country. England does too. You know what I mean? The Craze and the group before the Craze and the movies you see like Snatch and Two Guns and a Smoking Barrel. We get this crazy fascination, but it lumps the Italian Americans into one. What's the word I'm looking for? It lumps them into, well, they're all associated with it. And that's as far from the truth as saying Irish Americans were all involved in the Irish Mafia. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But because the Italian Mafia was exposed first, you hear more about that.
So as far as the pay-per-view, we have the opening montage, and of course it talks about Sting Luger, Sid Jarrett, and Hogan versus Flair in the infamous Yappapai Indian strap match. I think we have to mention this before we even get into the show. What the hell is a Yappapai Indian strap match?
I think they came up with a tribe, and I don't even know if that's a real name. Tribe of Native Americans. And I don't think they could get away with that in today's culture, do you?
No.
I don't think they could even get away with an Indian strap match. They could get away with a strap match, but not. I don't think they could get away with an Indian strap match. I mean, look at the Cleveland team and the Washington team. They had to change their logos, their names. I don't think in this day and age you could get away with that. We've really changed in the last 20 years, haven't we?
Big time.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what the hell that even means. Where did he pull that from? Is that an actual Indian expression, Yappapai?
I have no idea, but that was Hogan's idea.
I always noticed Hogan would always say strange stuff. Like, remember when he had the metal briefcase at one point? He kept calling it an attaché case. It's a metal briefcase. Why would you need to call it an attaché case? I don't know. He always would say the craziest thing. Is a Yappapai Indian. Just say a strap match, no? I mean, do you have to say Yappapai Indian? It's just weird.
Yeah. Maybe because he thought the curiosity factor would boost the attendance of buy rate.
It did not. As Hogan and Flair the year before, like we mentioned, did 425,000 buys, did 335,000 buys in main events. This one only 60K. So obviously people are getting tired of Hogan versus Flair.
Yeah.
So as the show... Sorry.
I may be getting tired of some non-conclusive finishes.
That seemed to be a staple of WCW for a while, unfortunately. And fans grow tired of that after a while.
Yeah, I have to see. I can get sucked down YouTube pretty easily, and I happen to watch a match from Illinois, a town in Illinois, where Baba was there, and he wrestled Abdullah the Butcher for the Pacific, and Lord Blaze was there with the belt, the Pacific, whatever their belt is, Pacific Championship in Japan. Oh, it was once for All Japan.
Triple Crown.
No, it was there. All Japan. Isn't the Triple Crown New Japan?
Nope, All Japan.
All Japan. Okay, so that belt was by itself. And they wrestled in Illinois. So I think, and there was an A, it must have been an AWA town because they had Stanley Blackburn, the fake figurehead for AWA. They had Lord Blaze, who was the commissioner of All Japan, and Flying Baba over against Abdullah. But what it was three, two out of three, and the finish was a count out. I thought, whoa, I can understand maybe that finish because all the Japanese in the YouTube, it was filmed with a Japanese crew and a Japanese announcer. Maybe they were working an angle to bring it back to Japan. That's why Baba won in Illinois. But I didn't like that finish either. But we're talking over 41 years ago?
Yep. Kind of a little bit of bait and switch there.
Yeah.
You see some unhappy fans.
Yeah.
So as far as this show, it's very interesting. The show opens, like I said, you get the video, but then Chris Candido, quote unquote Hard Knocks, I guess they're calling him at this point, makes his debut, joining the announced team, stating that he will defeat whoever wins the opening match for the Cruiserweight Championship. He wants to challenge them, and he wants the winner. How did the Chris Candido's debut here come about?
I think Chris was one of those great performers. Never probably achieved what he could have, but one thing I've been aware of for a long time, when I was a kid, Eddie Graham once told me, you can't have too much talent. Talent will drive every talent, meaning upward and harder. So having Chris Candido was a big positive for us. Especially for that Cruiserweight Championship.
Pretty good to see him here. A little surprising. Like, obviously, ECW staple, leaves ECW, headed to WCW. Big win for WCW. He was great. Just an unbelievable performer. Obviously, Tammy ends up coming with him. She's, she's a boatload of trouble, I guess you could say.
You know, I was around Tammy when I used to work in Japan, and I'd work for Jimmy Cornette, Spotty Mountain, when I was off. She was such a sweetheart when I met her. I can only go on what I knew about her. She was always pleasant to me, but her life is, and I hope it gets straightened out, taking a real tailspin. Didn't she get in some trouble just recently again?
Again, yeah. After she just got in trouble, when she got out of jail, she got in trouble again. She was driving without a license, driving without insurance, all this stuff. It's crazy.
Could this revoke? Is she on probation?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This probably revoked the probation, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Oof.
Was she ever this much trouble ever before? Like, do you remember? I know it's Smoky Mountain. She was, you said she was good, but like, have you ever seen anything like this? It almost seems like it's never ending.
I've never seen anything, especially on the lady side. I've never seen anything quite as bizarre as this. I believe, you know, one without sin can throw the first rock. None of us are without sin. I just think that she should be in some kind of therapy to help her. She almost should have a handler, JP, I think, first. Stop her from whatever impulses she gets. And, I mean, the world has changed so much. I mean, this is crazy. I remember back in the day when the police would pull you over and you had a six-pack. They didn't even let you keep it. Especially Florida was one of the last states where you could have an open container in your car. I just don't understand why somebody in her family has stepped up and said, we got to get somebody to live with you. We need to get you some therapy. We need to, because these mistakes she's making, it's almost like obsessive compulsive disorder, where I think a lot of people have OCD. Do you have any, John?
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
I do, too. Like, I'll eat the, I'll get on a chicken craze and I'll only eat chicken, or I'll, I mean, I one time went 10 days on just water, right? I had a 10-day distilled water fast. I broke the fast. Only time I ever played golf, I played golf. I was like Chevy Chase and Caddyshack, be the ball.
Right.
And I broke the fast by drinking two quarts of beer and eating like four tacos. I mean, I think people with OCD, and I don't, they have kind of grown out of it. But when you have these patents, I feel very, very sad that nobody stepped up to the plate. It's almost like you're watching a car wreck and you're slowing down to see the disaster. Somebody should be helping her. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she just doesn't want the help, but somebody somewhere has got to realize, yeah, she needs help in the worst way. I mean, what a wreck.
Didn't she go to jail for like a year the last time?
Yeah, she was in jail for a while, I remember. And then I think when she got out, I think that's when she got in trouble. She tried to stab her boyfriend with a scissor or something. Something crazy.
Yeah.
And she's in this town, Keensburg, which I'm very familiar with. Not the nicest place in the world.
Oh, really? Really?
I mean,
she was the darling there for a long time, right?
Yep.
I hope, and I'm speaking for you too, we hope that she gets better.
Absolutely, yeah. Think about it. From 1996, whatever it was, she was the most downloaded girl on the internet. And now, you know, 25 years later, look at her. It's just crazy to see that happen.
Yeah.
And Chris, obviously, gone for many years now, unfortunately. But, man, he was so great. It was cool to have him at WCW. And I remember that the thing with him was he was going to be like the cruiserweight bully. Like, he could do that style, yes, but he's not going to fly around. He's going to take these guys and he's going to, quote-unquote, ground them, Was that kind of the thought process, or did you guys not even think that far ahead?
Is that what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
So, like, I guess Nash was saying he wanted him to be almost like the cruiserweight bully. Like, he wanted him to be the guy that would ground the other guys. You know, he would kind of wrestle differently.
Yeah, I think Kevin saw that even though Chris was short, that he was built like a brick tank.
That basically the artist ends up winning the match, defeating Psychosis in about 7 minutes and 20 seconds. Really weird part of the match, though. Psychosis is obviously wrestling Artist on the inside of the ring, but on the outside of the ring, Paisley almost goes to attack Juventud, who's managing Psychosis at this point. She slaps him. He falls over. She knocks him over. She brings him to the ground. She then jumps on him, rips his shirt, and then starts unbuckling his jeans. What do you remember this? Like, what the heck was going on here? They were, like, trying to say that Hoovy is some sort of chick magnet.
Yeah, I think this was a desperate try of trying to get attention. And, you know, it's, I equate a lot of things to baseball, John, right? When you are in a slump, you've got to pay attention to your batting stance. We certainly forgot what brought us to the dance. And this, I wonder how many people at home that have little kids said, uh-oh, this is the last time I'm going to buy this crap. What do you think?
It's definitely possible because that was weird. I know it ends up distracting Psychosis and Artist, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Prince Ikea. I know he ends up getting the win, but that was a weird way to kind of have a finish to a match. It's like, okay, Paisley, you go rape Juventud and you'll just, you know what I mean? It's very weird.
And to start it that way, not good.
Weird starts. Okay, match. You kind of expected better from Ikea and Hoovy, but obviously that finish kind of kills it for me. Just strange, for sure.
Yeah.
In the back, we have an interview with Bam Bam Bigelow and Mean Gene. He's talking about his match later on against The Wall. Now, he obviously, both of them, Jersey Boys, Bam Bam kind of was a mentor to The Wall, a bit of a trainer, if you will. Did you know about The Wall's history with Bam Bam? Probably, right?
Yeah, I knew about it. And Hammer wanted to work with him. Hammer was such a wonderful person. Such a wonderful person. Easy to get along with. Terrific performer. One of the greatest of big men of all times, don't you think?
Oh, easily. Easily in the top five. Maybe my top three or top two.
Who's your number one?
Vader, I'd have to go with. I love Vader.
I'd have to go. My top three would be Vader, Big Boss Man, and Bava. In no particular order.
Can't go wrong there on any of those guys. They were great.
No.
When you look at The Wall, did you see anything in him? Obviously, when he trims down years later when he became Malice, I mean, he was in tremendous shape. But what did you think about him as The Wall?
He was just a natural. I mean, I thought, do you remember when he chokeslammed Crowbar off the scaffolding?
Oh, it was great. Right through the table, right? It was an awesome chokeslam.
Yeah, he unfortunately passed away too early. Rest in peace, Jerry. He was a very, very, another great guy.
Definitely. And he was, like I said, he was a Jersey boy. Yeah, he used to work out not that far from me, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a buddy of mine used to lift with him all the time. Said he was, you know, he's an animal in the weight room. Obviously, he was, but
yeah, big guy, impressive.
Oh, yeah, he was huge. I almost feel like the TV didn't do it justice how big he was, which is funny because usually it makes you look bigger. I think it almost – you couldn't tell. He's bigger in person than you would think on TV.
Absolutely. One of the few guys – you hit it on the head – that looked bigger in person than he did on TV. Strange.
Yeah, weird.
I think the reason why, John, he was so well-proportioned.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
Metrically.
Yep.
Symmetrical.
So next up, Norman Smiley and the Demon, with Norman Smiley dressed up like he's a part of KISS, versus XS, which is Lane and Rave, a.k.a. Lenny, Lane, and Lodi. And Norman Smiley and the Demon get the win in about 4 minutes or so. Okay match, I guess, to say, you know, say it was okay, maybe giving it too much credit. The Screaming Demons get the win, but more of a comedy match, I guess, than anything else.
Yeah, and it was. This is just an assumption of mine. It was the deal with KISS that was involved in this. And Jeff Torborg is a great guy. Not Jeff. What's his name?
Dale. Dale, yep.
Yep. The reason why I mentioned Jeff, Jeff's his dad.
Yeah, right? It's very famous dad, yeah.
Yeah, his dad caught 3 no-hitters, and it was the record until Veritek broke it and yep. caught 4. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
So with this, obviously, you know, Norman is kind of being Gene Simmons, I guess, dressed up like KISS. It's, you know, Screaming Demons is much more of a joke. XS, which is Lane and Lodi, would eventually, you know, they're kind of doing a, you know, I guess you could say a little bit of a gay gimmick. I mean, they would do all sorts of different gimmicks together. They would do a lot of, you know, the blow pop thing where they're always sucking the blow pops. Just the very controversial stuff. They would even do the standards and practices thing where they literally were pretending they were standards and practices. And Miss Hancock, the beautiful Stacy Keibler, was with them. It was almost like you guys tried a lot of different things with them as a team. I don't know if anything really stuck or if you guys were trying to make it stick, but I'm sure the real standards and practices didn't want to have a tag team called standards and practices that was making fun of them.
Right. That came later, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit later. Yep. So, yep.
Yeah. Lodi, I saw about 2 years ago, looks terrific. He's shredded. He looks fabulous. Yeah, I saw him at I was at a signing and he was wrestling. His work is fabulous to this day. Better than he was before.
Crazy how good he looked. Yeah, he's ripped to the ninth.
Yeah.
Then we have our next match. It is Bam Bam Bigelow, the aforementioned Bam Bam Bigelow, defeating the Wall by disqualification in 3 minutes again. Kind of just a short and sweet match here. We're not so sweet, but just a short match here. And I can't do much in 3 minutes, right? I mean, it seems pretty, I don't know, like you didn't give him enough time.
Yeah. Didn't somebody take a bad bump in that match?
Well, really, they kind of brawled to the stage, and they had those computer monitors send up. The Wall did end up putting Bammer through a table with a choke slam, and then the referee called for the bell. So I'm not sure if he really got hurt from the choke slam or if they were just trying to play up the Wall as, like, sadistic. And
JP, I could be wrong, but I think Bammer got hurt there.
Because they did do a stretcher job, because there is a stretcher that comes out. I'm not sure if that was a work or a shoot, but there is a stretcher that comes out for Bammer.
I think he got hurt. If I recall right, I think he got hurt.
Yep. And then
because why would you only give those guys 3 minutes when you know you're going to get a fabulous match?
Very true. Very cut short. And then here is the aforementioned, like you mentioned, with Crowbar. Here, Crowbar comes out with David Flair, and the Wall ends up chokeslamming Crowbar off the structure, and Crowbar goes, you know, obviously sailing through the air with pretty wicked force. It looked absolutely vicious, and then the Wall's look, like, you know, his laugh being sick and sadistic. Pretty cool spot, though.
Yeah,
got to be honest.
Oh, it's one of the great spots of all times. If people haven't seen it, I'm sure you can pull it up on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely check that out. Yeah. That's a great, great spot.
He didn't fall from 6 feet either.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, nope.
It had to be close to 21 feet, don't you think?
Oh, it was pretty high up there, yeah. Crowbar is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think that the wall, because it seems like here, and I know obviously the new regime comes in, and I think that's what kind of hurt the wall. Would he have been like your guy's choice of somebody you're going to slowly but surely build up? Because, you know, he loses to Bam Bam, but it's a DQ, so there's nothing, no loss here. But then he stretches out Bam Bam and then destroys Crowbar. So, I mean, it seems like a bit he's getting a bit of a push here.
Kevin really liked him, and Kevin really wanted to push him.
So then Russo and Bischoff take over, and then goodbye push. I mean, that's kind of what the gist I got from it.
I think a lot of guys that were from the old regime, and I don't think Eric pulled that string, but a lot of guys from the old regime were clipped. You know, sometimes when you come in, you want to clean the slate and you don't really analyze who can do what. You just want to bring your guys in and wipe the slate clean. I think Jerry got caught in a political struggle.
The next match is a hardcore match. Brian Knobb defeats Evan Courageous, Shannon Moore, and Shane Helms in an elimination handicap match for the Hardcore Championship. Match goes about 7 minutes. Okay match. Nothing great, nothing to write home about, but interesting. A handicap hardcore match elimination. A lot of steps for Brian Knobbs here.
Yeah. Too much. We're now getting to be a little too carnival atmosphere, don't you think?
Yep.
Yeah.
And like the three count, three on one. I don't know, just a little too cutesy there. Like you said, it's a little too carnival, a little too much Gaga there.
Yeah, you just needed the cotton candy and the corn dog, and it would have worked out perfectly.
True. Then next up, we have Billy Kidman and Booker T with the beautiful Torrie Wilson defeating Harlem Heat 2000, which of course is Stevie Ray and Big T, formerly known as Ahmed Johnson. And he is with Cash and Jay Biggs. Billy Kidman and Booker T get the win in about 7 minutes. Not a great match. Not terrible, but nothing really to write home about here either. It was just okay. So everything so far is just kind of ho-hum okay. What do you think about Harlem Heat 2000? Ahmed Johnson, who's not the same Ahmed Johnson. I mean, it's the same guy as from WWF, which is not the same look as when he was in WWF.
Yeah.
What do you think about that team?
I've always thought Stevie Ray is way underrated. He's fabulous. I like this person. I think he was saddled with Ahmed Johnson. No disrespect, but I mean, you're replacing Booker T with Ahmed Johnson, who wasn't, like you said, the Ahmed Johnson that was the WWE. It didn't do Stevie any justice.
No. Definitely, definitely not. And as far as just like Harlem Heat 2000 in general, I don't know, did you think it was going to work that you're adding in somebody else to Harlem Heat? You know, like almost like a retread, but not as good of a team. I mean, do you really think that was going to work?
Did I? No. You know, again, in baseball, right? When the Red Sox were at the height of their power, there was Ortiz and Manny, right? Ortiz got elected to the Hall of Fame, Manny's should be in the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest right hand hitters of all times, but the steroids being suspended is going to keep him out. You don't replace Ortiz with Pedroia in that position. You know what I mean? You don't slide Pedroia down a three spot, leave Ortiz on the bench. It just doesn't work.
I agree. And Big T, a.k.a. Matt Johnson, he wasn't in really in shape here. His promo wasn't that good. He just didn't seem like the same guy. He was very uninspired here, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think somewhere along the line he lost his desire for the business.
So next up is Vampiro defeating Fit Finlay in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Match goes about 8 minutes and 30 seconds. Actually, for being the wild, crazy brawl that it kind of was and kind of going into the brief men's room visit, I mean, it was all over the place, but not bad. Not a terrible match here as Vampiro gets the win over Fit Finlay. It seemed like at this point, too, like the wall was getting a nice slow push, and it seemed like Vampiro was getting a nice slow push up the card.
Yeah, and Terry Funk has told me more than one occasion the top five guys he ever worked for, Fit Finlay was one of them.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
What do you think about Vampiro?
Loved his gimmick. Nice enough guy. Big star in Mexico. Huge star in Mexico. I think this was, like you said, Wall and Vampiro. I think it kind of disintegrated a little later, didn't it? Their pushes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Seemed to happen a lot. With each new regime, I guess you push the guys you want to push, and you know, it's your new regime.
Yeah.
Then the next matchup is for the WCW Tag Team Championships. The Harris Brothers, Ron and Don, defeat the Mamalukes, Big Vito, and Johnny the Bull with Disco Inferno to win the tag team titles. I know you love the Harris Boys, and I know you're not a big fan of the name of the Mamalukes.
No, I hate that name. You couldn't get away with it today. I love the Harris Boys. Great performers. Great guys. The Mamalukes, great performers, but I just hated that name. I mean, we're getting to really be incarnable. But we're going back to really be incarnate. We just needed a two-headed cow.
Yeah. So, Next up, Dustin Rhodes defeats Terry Funk in a bull rope match in about 9 minutes. Okay match, nothing great. I was kind of maybe expecting a little more. I don't know, for some reason something was a little off there in this Texas bull rope match. It is funny to note that Funk comes out with a chicken to start the match and cuts a funny promo, basically saying that it should be an I Quit match, which it doesn't get changed, but he says it should be, and that he says this little chicken is your little brother, Dustin. Kind of funny, looking back.
Yeah, looking back, it really is funny. I mean, Terry Funk, there's no other words to describe Terry. There's only one. Terry's an entertainer, bar none.
It almost seemed like they were both kind of joking around, like they're using the chicken and stuff in the match. It seemed like, I don't know, they both weren't really into it for some reason.
I think they could see the beginning of the end. I mean, Dustin's second generation, Terry's second generation. They know when things are going to go good and when things aren't going good. You don't have to describe it to them. They've been around dressing rooms since they've been kids. And working since they've been kids.
Oh, yeah. Now, they keep showing a limo in the back, a black limo, and they keep saying there's a mystery man in it. So that's been like kind of the thread through the whole night, that there's this mystery man in this limo. Who's it going to be? Jeff Jarrett intimating that the guy is with him. So just keep that in the back of your mind. They got a mystery man hanging out backstage. Then next up, in a lumberjack match, Sting versus the Total Package, Lex Luger with Elizabeth. Sting ends up getting the win in about 7 minutes. Nothing too great here. I don't know. Everyone seemed like uninspired for some reason. Just didn't seem like the big match players here. Just didn't seem like, on paper, all these matches sound great. And then when they actually come to fruition, not so great.
The darkness was seeping in. You know what I mean? You know what Nash always says? That on his interviews, he said, one day he came in and I said to him, Sullivan came up to me and said, you feel the water, it's getting cold. By this time, everybody was chest deep in the ice cold water. We knew what was going on.
Interesting. Vampiro actually makes an appearance and helps out Sting in this match, as they were doing the whole brothers in paint gimmick, and they were basically, right, you know, feuding with the team package. They would eventually, Sting would eventually, during the Russo-Bischoff era, would end up feuding with each other. Did you like the brothers in paint idea, Sting and Vampiro as a partner, and was the plan always to turn them against each other?
No, the plan wasn't to turn them against each other. I thought that was, down the line, you could have, but I thought that was very good, a good rub for Vampiro, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just beat Finley, and now he comes out, it's a good rub. Obviously, Nash saw something in Vampiro. And we knew that he drew all kinds of money in Mexico, and being a foreigner in Mexico, it's hard to draw money.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But he did.
Yep. Big time.
So next up, they tell Sid in the back that the world title match is actually up next, and he kind of sprints out of the dressing room surprised because he thought he was in the main event, so he's in a bit of a panic as, for some reason, like we talked earlier, Hogan Flair is going to be in the main event, but they almost turned into a little bit of storyline here where Sid was surprised that the world title match was in the main event. That was kind of interesting. They quote-unquote changed the format as a storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Hulk wanted to wrestle Sid, and they thought this could help it. And he's probably right. I got to give him credit on that. He's probably right. It was very different. It was a good difference.
So as far as the match itself, Sid Vicious defeats Jeff Jarrett to retain his WCW World Heavyweight Championship in about 8 minutes. I don't know, another match. Okay, nothing great, nothing bad either. Just, I don't know, not a lot of great matches tonight. A lot of ho-hum effort for some reason.
There was a lot of turmoil backstage, a lot of what was going on. And I think, like I said, they were standing chest deep in ice cold water and kind of knew things were bleak.
And then the man in the limo ends up being Scotty Steiner, because immediately after the match, Steiner makes his way out, making his return to WCW after a few months off, and he then takes out Hogan and beats him up, which immediately then leads into the Yappapai strap match as Flair runs out to the ring and hooks him up to the strap. So interesting way to kind of go to the main event. No intros, nothing. Just Scott Steiner beats up Hogan, Flair comes out, and then the match starts immediately. Is that, I don't know, do you like starting your main event like that?
No. But I understood what they're trying to do. Get Scotty over, you know. And just because I'm not a big fan of it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's all objective. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or subjective. You know,
subjective. Yep.
Yeah, subject. Not objective. It's all subjective. You know, I don't like squash. You may like squash. So it's all, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think you weaken the main event by doing things like that. It's supposed to be sacred to me.
I agree. So then Hogan ends up defeating Ric Flair in about 14 minutes, 30 seconds in the Yappapai Indian strap match. Not a bad match. I mean, not great either, but not bad at all. I mean, they were trying at least. There was some effort there. Luger, he came down to try to cheat at one point. There was, you know, some effort here put in by these guys. It just it didn't turn out well because Luger's run-in did not help. Hogan ends up, for some reason, dropping the big leg on Flair and pinning him for the three count, but then touching the fourth corner because, you know, in a strap match, you got to touch all four corners. So at least Hogan did touch all four corners. Why did he feel the need to beat pin Flair too? Like, that's not a strap match.
That's the fourth time, is it? In a row?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean,
or three out of four. Flair actually won one of them. Remember, we were surprised.
That's
Flair
right.
Won, yeah. So three out of four, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, Hulk might have went blank there. I don't know. But he didn't need to do that. All he needed to do was touch the corners.
Yep.
Kind of defeated what the match was about.
Yeah, pretty funny. Like, he pins Flair, and then he touches the fourth corner. It's like, almost maybe you're right. Maybe brain fart. Maybe he forgot. Like, oh, damn, that's right. And then he just did that.
Yeah.
But the ref almost shouldn't have counted the three either, you know?
Yeah. But I don't think he was going to hesitate after the big leg, you know what I mean?
Yep. So what do you think overall on the show?
I'd have to give it a thumbs down.
I agree. You have a DQ finish in the uncensored pay-per-view, which is supposed to be uncensored, right? This should be, which was weird with the Bam Bam and the wall. I know there might have happened there, but still, that was kind of strange. The Yappapai strap match, not great. Seemed like effort wasn't there. Yeah, not a great show. Yeah, thumbs down here. Not a great show. And on paper, you would think that with all these great talents, they would be good, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it was one of those things that just didn't work from the beginning to the end.
So let's head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @2ManPowerTrip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And, of course, go to Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com, and visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Go to Instagram and follow Kevin at TaskmasterTalks. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Well, I'm going to be at the big event Friday, Saturday, and I'm also going to be on Monty and the Pharaoh show Saturday night. Sunday, I'm sorry. So I got a pretty busy month coming up.
Nice. Good stuff, as always. I thank everybody out there for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.